We have recently discussed the Adi Lila and Madhya Lila of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It has been offered as a request that we discuss the Antya Lila of Lord Chaitanya as a humble and insignificant service at the lotus feet of all of the assembled Vaishnavas. Praying for your mercy and the mercy of my beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I will make some insignificant attempt to discuss this glorious subject matter. Who could possibly be qualified to properly discuss the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Vrindavan Das Thakur has explained that trying to describe the glories of Lord Chaitanya is like a bird trying to fly into the unlimited sky. According to its capacity, it may go a certain height. Similarly, according to our capacity, it is our foremost duty in this human existence to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is Vibhu, He is unlimited, and we are Anu, infinitesimal. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains how Ananta Shesha, with his thousand mouths, even if he were to chant the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the span of time of many, many creations, he would not be able to properly discuss even what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed in his Leela in one single day. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself assumed the role of a devotee to teach us how to humble ourselves in the service of the Lord. When he was speaking to Srila Rupa Goswami, he explained, the glories of Krishna are like an unlimited ocean, an ocean that has no ends. I am going to try to explain just one little particle of a fraction of one drop from that ocean. Srila Prabhupada, the great Paramhamsa Vaishnav, who was divinely empowered to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the path of bhakti to the entire world, he prayed to Lord Krishna while he was upon the Jaladuta that I have no power to speak your glories. How will people possibly understand? But if you empower me to speak, then I can transform people's hearts. I am a puppet. You can make me dance in any way you want me to dance, O Lord. Please make me dance. You have given me this name, Bhakti Vedanta, which explains how the conclusion of all knowledge is pure unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna. Now, my Lord, if it is your desire, you can fulfill the real meaning of my name. I am your insignificant beggar. Srila Prabhupada explains that in order to glorify the Lord in such a way that the Lord is pleased, we must simply be in a mood of a humble servant, trying to repeat what the previous acharyas have spoken, as it is explained in the holy scriptures. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he describes how he is so insignificant and ignorant, but somehow or other, by the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath and Gornitai, he is speaking the words of the transcendental glories of the Lord. We have no qualifications. However, Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, has ordered us to read his books and to speak this message to others. And it is that order that is our only qualification. Whether we can do it properly or whether we are not very expert at all, nevertheless, it is our duty to simply try to repeat this message for the purification of our own heart and the enlightenment of other living beings. That simple Brahman in Srirangam was reciting Bhagavad Gita each day. He could not recite properly because he was not well educated. And some Brahmins who were great pundits, they laughed at him and criticized him for his feeble attempts. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and invested within his heart the perfection of life, the essence of ultimate realizations, pure love for Krishna. Because his Guru Maharaj told him, recite Gita every day. The Brahmin told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have no qualification, but I am dedicated to serving my Guru's instruction. So this is the position of those aspiring on the path of devotional service. We have no claim to any qualifications of our own. If we think we do, we are under the influence of the illusory energy. Our only claim is the mercy of our spiritual master. And that mercy descends through disciplic succession. It originates with Krishna. It has been transported through time immemorial in the hearts of the great acharyas. It comes into our life in the form of the instruction of our spiritual master. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is the supreme spiritual master of all members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are all aspiring to be particles of dust at his lotus feet and trying to become the servant of the servant of his servants. The instruction he has given us is here, this glorious knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Practice it in your life and preach. The whole world is in great suffering due to ignorance. The message of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the light which will illuminate this darkness of the age of Kali Yuga. In fact, it is the only light that can truly awaken our original dormant Krishna consciousness. Therefore, with whatever capacity we may have, we must repeat this message. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was ordered to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He humbly heard from Srila Raghunath Das Goswami on the holy banks of Radhakund. And even that is so wonderful, because Raghunath Das Goswami, he was ordered by Rupan Sanatan Goswami to speak the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for several hours every day for the pleasure of the devotees. Following that order, he spoke. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami attentively heard with his very life and soul. And the great Vaishnavas, such as the Goswamis, they ordered Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, what you have heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, write a book. Put the essential pastimes and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a transcendental literature for the joy of all devotees and for the deliverance of all the world. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how he is fallen and low and has no qualifications. In fact, his opinion of himself is so transcendentally full of humility. He does not consider himself a great Paramahamsa. But rather he says that I am lower than Jagai and Madhai. If anyone hears my name, they lose all previous births of pious activities. If one speaks my name, he becomes sinful. I am lower, more degraded than the wretched worm living in stool. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was not just making a show of being humble. What he was speaking, he literally feels within his heart. By material calculations, if someone was speaking like this within our society, they would think he was crazy. They would send him to a psychiatrist, bring him to so many various sessions to develop self-confidence. Because they have no clue of the reality of the disposition of the eternal soul in relationship to Krishna. It is this type of humility alone, Lord Chaitanya said, that can attract Krishna. Whatever we do, if it is not offered with this mood of humility and a desire to serve and to please, our service is not really pleasing Krishna. The more we understand the supreme glories of the Lord, the more we naturally feel ourselves very humble. This is the sign of one who is actually understanding the truth. He must become humble in the presence of that truth. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, before writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he took the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. He went before the worshipable deity of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, the Sambandha Murti of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, who was originally in recent times installed and worshipped by Srila Sanatan Goswami. He begged for the blessings of Madan Mohan. As he was blessing, a garland fell from Madan Mohan's beautiful transcendental body. The pujari came and offered it to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. At that time, all the assembled Vaishnavas began to cheer. Wonderful kirtan to celebrate the wonderful experience Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had directly received blessings of the Lord to write this literature. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also prays for the mercy of all the readers of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He explains that I worship the dust of the lotus feet of all those devotees who submissively hear this work of transcendental literature. This is the actual mood of a true devotee. When a devotee is writing, or when a devotee is preaching, the devotee is not egoistically thinking, I am preaching to you because I am superior to you. Anyone who is willing to hear this message, the devotee in his heart should be worshipping the dust of the lotus feet of his listeners. Because if they were not willing to listen, we could not preach. Without preaching, we do not have the opportunity to perform the most important service to our spiritual master. This person who is listening to me is engaging me in the service of my Guru Maharaj. By his mercy of listening to this message, he is giving me the chance to purify my heart and get the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. Let me worship the dust of the feet of this great, most merciful and compassionate soul. Even if that person happens to be an ignorant materialist, if he's willing to hear the message, how grateful we should be. They are allowing me to take the mission of Nityananda Prabhu to preach this message to the most fallen. This is Vaishnava. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this gift. Srila Prabhupada after receiving the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami, Radha Damodar, and the Vaishnavas, he came to the West to distribute this message. And then from the West, through his books, through his personal association, through his devotees, he brought the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all of the world. Srila Prabhupada in Radha Damodar Temple, he began writing Srimad Bhagavatam. He compiled the first three volumes, which comprised the entire first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Vrindavan, practically day and night, he was immersed with no one's help at all in performing every particular detail of what was required to write, edit, print, publish, and distribute the books. After he began his worldwide ISKCON movement, he would spend many, many hours in the night translating and delivering his Bhaktivedanta purports, which is the very essence of the realizations of all the previous acharyas who have commentated on Srimad Bhagavatam. At a certain stage, Srila Prabhupada revealed to us how it was so important that we understand clearly the teachings and life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, while he was writing the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the 1960s, one of the first books he printed was the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And just a few years later, he put his translations of Srimad Bhagavatam on hold for some time because he felt it was so important that the world receive Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada went on a marathon to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita extensively. As he was doing the work, he asked his devotees to go on a marathon. And when they were told how much time they had to print the book and bring it onto the streets to distribute, they were shocked. They thought it was impossible. But Srila Prabhupada said, "I have done all this work to translate it. Now you do this work to print it, distribute it." The artists were all gathered from all over the world painting the beautiful illustrations for the book. The editors were going on endless shifts, 24 hours a day practically. And the layout and the printing. And within a couple months, 17 volumes of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita had been completed. Srila Prabhupada was so pleased. It was his very deep desire that the world be given this most precious gift, the supreme of all treasures, the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins the Antyalila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with the following verses. Pangum langayate shailam mukam avartayet chutam yat kripatam aham bande Krishna Chaitanya Mishwaram. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man recite Vedic literature. Durgame pati mendhasya skalat pada gather muhu swakripayasti dhanena santa santva valambanam. My path is very difficult. I am blind and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, may the saints help me by granting me the stick of their mercy as my support. Sri Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, Echai Gurura Kharun Sharana Bandhan, Yaha Hoite Vignanas Abhista Puran. I pray to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and Das Raghunath, so that all impediments to my writing this literature will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If one wants to benefit the entire world, he will certainly find persons like hogs and pigs who will put forth many impediments. That is natural. But if a devotee seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, the merciful Goswamis will certainly give the Lord's servitor all protection. It is not astonishing that impediments are placed before those who are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Nevertheless, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated, and the transcendental devotional desire to serve the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. Jayatam sudatau pangor mama mandam athergati mat sarvasvapadam bojao radha madana mohanao. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. Divya Brindaranya Kalpadrumadha Sriman Ratnagara Simhasanastau Srimad Radha Sila Govinda Devau Pristalabhi Sevya Manosmarami. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Sriman Rasada Sarambi Bamsivata Tathastitaha Karshan Venu Sanaya Gopir Gopinatha Sriyestunaha. Sri Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore at Bamsivat and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon me their benediction. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Madhyalila Sankshepete Kharilan Varadan Antyalila Varanan Kichu Shuna Bhaktagan. I have briefly described the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as the Madhya Lila. Now I shall attempt to describe something about his last pastimes, which are known as the Antya Lila. Madhya Lila, Madhya Antya Lila Sutragan, Purva Grante Sankshepete Koriyache Varnan. I have briefly described the Antya Lila within the descriptions of the Madhya Lila. Ami Jara Grasta Nikate Janiya Maran Antya Kono Kono Lila Koriyache Varnan. I am now almost an invalid because of old age, and I know that at any moment I may die. Therefore, I have already described some portions of the Antya Lila. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone, please listen very carefully. Following in the footsteps of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I am trying to translate Srimad Bhagavatam as quickly as possible. However, knowing myself to be an old man and almost an invalid because of rheumatism, I have already translated the essence of all literatures, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as a summary study in English. I started the Krishna consciousness movement at the age of 70. Now I am 78. And so my death is imminent. I am trying to finish the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam as soon as possible. But before finishing it, I have given my readers the book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that if I die before finishing the whole task, they may enjoy this book, which is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita concludes with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return from his glorious visit to Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the month of Magh, Lord Chaitanya left Vrindavan. While he was there, he traveled through all the 12 forests and was immersed in the most intimate ecstasies of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. In the natural surroundings of Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced the bliss of being in his eternal home. There he performed such wonderful pastimes and planted the seed which he would later entrust to be cultivated by the six Goswamis. And that is to rediscover the places of Krishna's wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan, to excavate those places and make it a holy place of pilgrimage for all the world to come for their purification, to build beautiful temples and establish the proper standards of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to exemplify true Vaishnav behavior and etiquette, and to write transcendental literatures to establish that pure unalloyed devotion to the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate goal of life, the conclusion of all scriptures. While returning from Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya stopped in Prayag. It was the Magh Mela taking place at that time. He induced millions of people to dance in transcendental love of God, loudly chanting the holy names. was at Prayag that he met Srila Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupam. For 15 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami at the Dashashwamedha Ghat. He embraced Srila Rupa Goswami and invested within his heart all the power to understand the innermost secrets of Lord Chaitanya's heart and to reveal those secrets to the entire world. He instructed Rupa Goswami to go to Vrindavan and later to come to Jagannath Puri to meet with him. After leaving Prayag and worshipping the beautiful deity of Veni Madhava, he went to Varanasi. There Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the great Mayavadi, Sannyasi, Prakashananda Saraswati, through very, very wonderful dialogue. He convinced Prakashananda Saraswati that the Mayavad philosophy was simply an illusion, that the form of God is eternally existing, that the personality of Godhead is the ultimate transcendental goal of life and can only be achieved through pure unalloyed bhakti. Along with his tens and thousands of disciples, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur left behind all of his misconceptions based on the teachings of Sariraka Bhasya and became a transcendental devotee of the Lord, chanting and dancing. He also, Lord Chaitanya, met with Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya and gave him his great love. In Varanasi, he met with Srila Sanatana Goswami. For 2 months, Lord Chaitanya instructed Srila Sanatana Goswami on all the essential truths of Vaishnava philosophy. Then he sent Sanatana Goswami to Vrindavan to meet with Srila Rupa Goswami and fulfill their great mission of excavating the holy places of pilgrimage, establishing temples and temple worship, exemplifying perfect Vaishnava behavior, and writing books to teach the whole world the message of pure Krishna consciousness. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling back to Jagannath Puri with Balabhadra Bhattacharya and one assistant, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so desperately missed by all of the devotees. The first attempt Lord Chaitanya made to go to Vrindavan, all the devotees wanted to go with him. Gadadhar Pandit gave up his vow of Chaitra Sannyas, where he would never leave the holy place of Puri where his deity was residing. When Lord Chaitanya said, "You cannot break your vow," Gadadhar Pandit said, "By serving you, I am serving my deity of Gopinath millions and millions of times." As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, so many hundreds of devotees were following behind him, and soon there were hundreds and thousands, millions of people following behind him. But Sanatana Goswami in Ramkeli Gram told him that you should go with a very small entourage. It is more befitting. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Vrindavan with only 1 or 2 devotees, you can imagine the pangs of separation of all the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loves his devotees more than he loves his own life. And the devotees, their life and soul is only for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Lord Chaitanya was traveling, it is explained that he came upon a cowherd boy who was holding a little bucket of buttermilk. Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh Gopa, I am very thirsty. Please give me some buttermilk to drink." The little cowherd boy said to Gauranga Mahaprabhu that, "Please, take it all and drink it to your heart's content." Lord Chaitanya drank all of the buttermilk in the pot until it was empty. Then he said, "My associates, they are coming soon from behind, and they will pay you nicely for what the buttermilk you have given me." Then Lord Chaitanya walked ahead, and the devotees approached. They asked the little cowherd boy, "Have you seen one sannyasi?" "Yes, not only I have seen, but he drank all my buttermilk. He told me that you would pay me. So please pay me because it is time for me to go home." The devotees looked at each other. Lord Chaitanya never allowed his devotees to travel with any money at all when they were with him. When Lord Chaitanya was first going to Jagannath Puri from Shantipur, after Sachimata told him, "Please do not go to Vrindavan. It is too far. Krishna of Vrindavan is living in Puri as Lord Jagannath. So make your residence in Puri." He was traveling to Puri. He turned around to his associates and asked, "Did you bring any money or food?" And they looked at him and said, "My lord, we would never bring anything while traveling with you." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. He would have sent them back if they had anything. He said, "We are simply depending on Krishna. No material arrangements. Even the wealthiest son of a king, a prince, if he's sick, even though the most wonderfully prepared opulent foods are given to him on golden and silver plates, he cannot eat anything because he's sick. Or even a very, very wealthy man, he may have the most opulent food before him, but if someone says something to insult him, his mind will be so disturbed that he cannot even eat. If Krishna wants you to eat, he will let you eat. If Krishna does not ordain you to eat, you will not eat, whatever arrangements." So there was no question of devotees of Mahaprabhu when they traveled with him carrying any money. The devotees looked at each other and they said to the little boy, "We are very sorry. We do not have any money, nothing." So the boy smiled. He said, "That's all right. Please tell your sannyasi that it is my humble and sincere offering to him. He does not have to pay anything. It is my pleasure." The devotees very happily began their journey. Meanwhile, the boy went to pick up his pot. He could not move it. He tried to lift it. It was so heavy, he could not pick it off the ground. He could not understand. What is it that is happening? He removed the lid to the pot. In it he saw the pot was filled to the very top with gold and precious jewels. The boy wanted to offer his surrendered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. So the boy ran so fast and fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the devotees came and they saw the boy already there meeting with the Lord, they were so happy. Gauranga Mahaprabhu smiled, and with a smile of love, he said to the boy, "But you have received the supreme mercy of Lord Krishna. Now you please go home." With those words, he impregnated within the heart of that child pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. As the child began to go home, his heart filled with love of God, he began dancing in ecstasy with his arms raised, loudly chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri, the devotees celebrated with great happiness their reunion with the Lord. The nature of a devotee is always to be in the mood of thinking of the happiness of others. Paradukaduki. The only real distress a devotee feels is when he sees others suffering. And the greatest happiness a true devotee experiences is when they see others happy in Krishna consciousness. Vasudev Dutt, he wanted to go to hell for unlimited time, and he would be very happy there if others within the universe received as a benediction the happiness of Krishna consciousness. Swarup Damodar Goswami was thinking that the devotees of Bengal, they had not heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival. So immediately upon Lord Chaitanya's return, he sent a message to the devotees of Bengal that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has returned from his journey to Vrindavan Dham. Please come. When Sachi Mata heard this news, she became joyful. The devotees of Navadvip, Santipur, Srikanda, Kulinagram, they all assembled together at the house of Advaitacharya. They approached Sachi Devi, and falling and worshipping the dust of her lotus feet, they begged her permission to allow them to go to Jagannath Puri. See how even such stalwart great devotees as Advaitacharya would receive the blessings of a senior Vaishnava before embarking on any serious endeavor in life. Even Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, would not go to Vrindavan or to South India journeys until the devotees first gave their heartfelt blessings to him. This is a standard principle amongst Vaishnavas. However great we may be, or however small, we should always feel dependent on the blessings of the Vaishnavas to be successful in any
endeavor in life.
Without the blessings of the Vaishnavas, everything we do is inauspicious, however it may appear to the eyes of the world. But if we endeavor honestly and sincerely with the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas, then whatever we do will be a perfect success in the eyes of Krishna, however it may appear on the level of externality. Shivananda Sen was such a humble servant of the devotees. Whenever the devotees of Bengal would go to Jagannath Puri, he would personally make all the arrangements for a comfortable travel. It was very difficult. Shivananda Sen, every year, he would arrange the travels to and from Jagannath Puri from Navadvip. That means hundreds and hundreds of miles, weeks of walking. And usually about 200 or 300 devotees would go. And they would walk. And as they were walking, they would need 3 meals a day. They would need a nice place to sleep, good place to take bath, water to drink. Plus, in those days, India was not one nation. It was divided into so many little kingdoms. And each time you would go into another district, you would have to pay different tolls and taxes. And usually they're always trying to cheat. And also different places, there were all sorts of dangers. Shivananda Sen would take it upon himself with great happiness to perform this service for the devotees every year. For most devotees, they get, as we say, burned out after 1 or 2 years, and they want someone else. Every year he would do, with happiness, because his life and soul was simply to serve the Vaishnavas and to please the Vaishnavas. As they were traveling, Shivananda Sen was making all nice arrangements. On this particular journey, a dog happened to join their traveling party. Srila Prabhupada was explaining it was an ordinary street dog by material calculations. Shivananda Sen accepted that this dog has joined the association of Vaishnavas. He treated that dog just as he treated all the other Vaishnavas, with such care and respect. He made sure every day the dog was fed at proper times. They came to a boat to cross a river in Orissa. The Orissan boatman, he said, "No dogs allowed on my boat." Shivananda Sen paid him whatever was required to convince him to allow the dog on the boat. One time, Shivananda Sen was delayed due to some complication in paying a tax. What he would do is he would have all the other devotees go ahead, and he would have to stay back. Sometimes it would take many hours, because he had to pay tax for each devotee. So he told his servants, his assistants, make sure the dog is fed on time as well as all the other Vaishnavas. When he came back, it was night. He had not eaten all day, Shivananda Sen. He sat down to take his prasad. He asked, "Where is our dog?" And his assistant said, "I forgot to give him rice." Shivananda Sen would not eat. He told his devotees, "Let 10 men search for this dog." 10 men searched everywhere calling for the dog. They came back. "We cannot find." By this time it was dark. Shivananda Sen fasted throughout the night because he felt he was not worthy of eating if one of the people in his party had not eaten. The next morning, when the sun rose, Shivananda Sen sent more devotees to search for the dog. He personally was searching everywhere. It could not be found. They proceeded on their journey to Jagannath Puri. When they arrived, they went to Gambira, where they met with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He embraced with great love all the Vaishnavas and welcomed them. Then they all went to Jagannath Temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced all of them in the presence of Lord Jagannath to have wonderful kirtan, chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Then they all went to take their bath in the sea, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally arranged for prasad for all the devotees. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally saw to it that each devotee had just the appropriate residence that would satisfy them. How Lord Chaitanya served the Vaishnavas. The next day in the morning, the devotees came to have the blessed darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were astonished. There was Lord Chaitanya sitting with that dog. He was throwing the dog his own remnants of green coconut pulp. The dog was eating it. And Lord Chaitanya was telling the dog, "Chant the holy names of Krishna." The dog was eating the Maha Maha Prasad of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the dog was blissfully chanting the holy names. Shivananda Sen saw the dog, feeling himself to have offended this dog. He offered his very humble, prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of the dog. The next day, the dog was nowhere to be seen by anyone. The reason was, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that one day of showing mercy to the Lord, to the dog, was so pleased that he sent the dog back home, back to Godhead. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. eternal residence in Vaikuntha. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada describe, this is the power of sadhu sangam. Association with a devotee is so precious that even if you are in the body of a dog, if you become dear to a Vaishnav, you become so much blessed by Krishna that you can achieve the ultimate perfection of life. How dear the devotees are to Krishna. Shivananda Sen surrendered his life to serving the devotees. And therefore he was so dear to Lord Chaitanya that anyone who was dear to Shivananda Sen, even in the body of a dog, would get the Lord's supreme mercy. Therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in one beautiful song. He doesn't pray for elevation to heavenly planets. He doesn't pray for elevation to Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. He doesn't even pray in this beautiful song for all the wealth and the powers of the mystic yogis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, just let me be Kukuta. Let me be a dog in the house of a devotee, where I will receive his prasad and his blessings. O Guru Maharaj, I am like a dog just following behind you, calling out, Krishna, Krishna!
Krishna, Krishna!
Generally, especially in the land of India, dogs are not respected very nicely. There's an old saying that you treat me like a dog. That doesn't mean like Shivananda Sen. That means you're kicking me and you're spitting on me and you're cursing me. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because this dog was dear to Shivananda Sen, he gave his supreme mercy. So let us all learn from this story and aspire to somehow or other get the favor of a Vaishnava who has surrendered his or her life to the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami was living in Vrindavan. There he began to write a drama about the Vrindavan and Dwarka Mathura Leelas of the Lord. He was just meditating on composing the introductory verses to this drama. He decided it was the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he travel to Puri to visit with him. As Srila Rupa Goswami was traveling to Jagannath Puri, he was writing notes on how he would compose this drama. Meanwhile, when they arrived in Bengal, his brother who was traveling with him, Anupam, died. His eternal soul left his body to return to the spiritual world. Rupa Goswami was planning to go to Bengal to meet with Srila Advaitacharya and join them as they were traveling to Jagannath Puri. Every year, by the invitation of Lord Chaitanya, for the whole 4 months of Chaturmasya, the devotees of Bengal would spend with celebrating Gundicha Marajana Rati Yatra and Janmashtami with Lord Chaitanya.
This is how much they put emphasis on going to yatra. Some of us, we think, oh, I have a job, what will my employer think? And I need money, and what about my children, and what about my parents, and what about everything else? I cannot go on this yatra, even though it's only 10 days. But the devotees, they were mostly all family people. Some were brahmacharis and sannyasis, but most had wives and children. But still, every year for 4 months, they put everything aside and went to Jagannath Puri to chant and dance in the presence of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Of course, if you have some problem, we understand. And we apologize if we make any aparads. But still, this is the standard that we should strive to achieve. Because Rupa Goswami was performing the proper rites and formalities for his brother Anupam's ceremonies, he was late, and the devotees of Bengal had already left without him. So he traveled alone to Jagannath Puri. In Orissa, he came to one village called Satyabhamapur. There he spent the night. As he was resting, he had a dream. The beautiful eternal consort of Lord Krishna, Satyabhama, appeared to him in this dream, instructed him. She said, please write a separate drama about me. By my mercy, your drama will be extraordinarily beautiful. She disappeared. Rupa Goswami awoke and understood that it appears that I should write 2 dramas, one about Vrindavan Leela and one about Dwarka Leela. He continued his travels and came to Jagannath Puri. There he asked directions to the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. Previously, Haridas Thakur invited him to come there. The name of that place is Siddha Bakula. When Rupa Goswami arrived, Haridas Thakur was so happy. They both offered their very sincere obeisances to one another and embraced in ecstatic love. Haridas Thakur said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me that you would be coming soon. Rupa Goswami asked, where is Lord Chaitanya? Just at that moment, Lord Chaitanya appeared at Siddha Bakula. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, Srila Rupa Goswami offered his prostrated obeisances. Haridas Thakur said, this is Rupa Goswami offering obeisances to you, my Lord. Lord Chaitanya lifted him up, and with great love, he embraced him. Then they sat down and began to discuss. Lord Chaitanya was asking, how are all the devotees in Vrindavan? Rupa Goswami explained. Lord Chaitanya asked, and where is Sanatana Goswami? Have you met him yet? Rupa Goswami said, I came by one path, but he came by another path, so we missed each other. we have not met.
Then Rupa Goswami explained how his brother Anupam had left this body. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Rupa Goswami. He had Govinda bring Maha Maha Prasad of Lord Jagannath that he had personally eaten. In fact, every day Lord Chaitanya would go to Jagannath temple in the morning to see the Upala Bhog offering. Then he would personally bring the Mahaprasad of Jagannath directly from Jagannath's temple to the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, due to social conventions, would not enter into the temple of Jagannath because he was born in a caste of Yavanas and Malechas. Therefore, Haridas Thakur did not want to disturb the traditions of the temple. He considered himself so low and fallen. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, personally arranged by his own endeavor, a wonderful little kutir for Haridas Thakur just close to Jagannath's temple, where he could daily see the chakra decorating the top of the temple. Haridas Thakur would worship that chakra and chant 300,000 times the holy names of Krishna every single day. Because Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, although born in the high caste of Saraswat Brahmins, accepted employment by the Yavana king, the Nawab Hussein Shah, they considered themselves outcasts, lower than the lowest and more fallen than the most fallen. Therefore, they never made any effort to enter the Jagannath temple. So they decided to stay with Haridas Thakur. Lord Jagannath himself, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would come out of the temple personally to give his audience to Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami every day, and with his own hands give them prasad. Each day Lord Chaitanya would sit for a long period of time with Thakur, Haridas and Rupa Goswami to discuss topics of Lord Krishna and shower his causeless mercy upon them. The next day after Rupa Goswami had arrived, Lord Chaitanya brought his most intimate associates, Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Srila Sarup Damodara Goswami, and so many others, Gadadhar Pandit. The devotees of Bengal were there also, Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Srivas Thakur. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced Rupa Goswami to all the devotees. Rupa Goswami, with great humility, considered every other Vaishnava superior to himself. He bowed down and took the dust in a mood of worshipping the lotus feet of each and every devotee, and each devotee picked up Rupa Goswami, affectionately embraced him. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, please honor and worship these Vaishnavas. He told all the devotees, please bestow your causeless mercy on Rupa Goswami. O Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, please bestow your potency and mercy upon Rupa Goswami so that he can spread the message of the transcendental mellows of pure devotional service all over the world. All the devotees, upon seeing how Lord Chaitanya loved and favored Rupa Goswami,
became filled with bliss. One day, Lord Chaitanya took all of his devotees to perform the annual festival of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. After cleansing of Gundicha, it was their annual tradition. They would go to a garden called Ayatota and have a wonderful feast. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his intimate associates were all sitting on a platform eating this nice feast of Jagannath's prasad. Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami sat on a lower platform. When Lord Chaitanya asked them, please take prasad, they said, no, no, we will take after. Such humility. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored the prasad, sitting with Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya and others, he personally told Govinda to give his remnants to Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. The next day, after that glorious feast, Lord Chaitanya came to the residence of Rupa Goswami. To Rupa Goswami's great surprise, Lord Chaitanya spoke. He said, Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. Do not try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Yadu Kumar, who is Krishna dwelling in Dwarka, is in a different transcendental mood than Nanda Nandana Krishna, who resides in Vrindavan. Therefore, you should write two separate dramas with two separate invocational prayers. When Rupa Goswami heard this, he became very much happy. He thought within his mind, what Satyabhama has ordered me, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has now confirmed. And from that time, he wrote two separate dramas. One called Lalita Madhava, describing Krishna's Dwarka Leela, and the other Vidagdha Madhava, describing Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. After some days, the beautiful Ratha Yatra took place. There Srila Rupa Goswami, for the first time, was allowed to see the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. Even though people who are not of a certain origin and material classification are not allowed to go into the temple of Jagannath, once a year, Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple to give his most sacred darshan to everyone and anyone without discrimination, even the insects and the animals. As the beautiful Ratha Yatra was taking place, Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath were being pulled by thousands of people through the main road of Puri. And there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates were performing ecstatic kirtan. Lord Chaitanya would divide his devotees into seven kirtan groups, each one with a leading dancer and a leading singer. Two murdangas in each group. There were so many karatals and 14 14 mridangas, the devotees were dancing and dancing and singing so loud, it was tumultuous throughout the entire universe. All that could be heard was the loud chanting of Lord Chaitanya's associates calling out the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would begin to dance. Sometimes he would expand himself so he was appearing in each of the seven groups simultaneously. And each group would think, the Lord is so merciful that he stays only with us. At other times, Lord Chaitanya would become one form and all the seven groups would merge into one gathered around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in the presence of Lord Jagannath was experiencing the ecstasies of Srimati Radharani that she felt in Kurukshetra when she saw Krishna after so many long years of separation. In that mood, she was longing to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. This is actually what Rath Yatra symbolizes. Sri Radharani and the gopis bringing Balaram, Subhadra and Shyam Sundar Krishna back to Vrindavan on carts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing the ecstasies of Srimati Radharani during the Rath Yatra. And the manifestations of love that erupted on his body were never to be seen before, nor will they ever again. Tears were flowing from his eyes like syringes. It looked like the river Ganges and Jamuna incessantly flowing and merging together, soaking his body. His hairs were standing on end like the flowers of the Kadamba tree. His teeth would shatter. It appeared that each tooth was independently trembling and was about to fall out. From each and every pore of his body came perspiration and blood. Sometimes his limbs would be disjointed. Sometimes they would go into his body. Sometimes his voice would get choked up and he could hardly speak. Other times he would fall unconscious. Other times he would leap in the air. When his foot touched the ground, it appeared that the entire earth was shaking. Sometimes he would be lighter than a feather, sometimes heavier than a mountain. Sometimes he would twirl around like a firebrand with his beautiful, beautiful golden arms raised. He was inducing everyone to chant the holy names of Krishna, and anyone who saw him would achieve pure unalloyed love of Krishna. Foam would come out of his mouth. Shubhananda caught it and ate it, because he was expert at tasting transcendental mellows. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting in front of Lord Jagannath, in his most confidential ras of Sri Radharani in the ecstasy of separation, he was offering a prayer to Lord Jagannath. No one except Swarup Damodar Goswami could possibly understand the meaning of this prayer. That very personality who stole my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlight nights in the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there,
And the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva, under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. This beautiful verse appears to be the song of an ordinary young girl who is lovesick for her lover. Therefore, people could not understand why Lord Chaitanya is offering this song.
It was inconceivable to their minds. Rupa Goswami, upon perceiving the wonderful festival of Ratha Yatra and Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy, was able to understand the innermost secrets of Lord Chaitanya's heart. And he wrote a verse which explained the actual mood of Lord Chaitanya and put it on a palm leaf. He placed that palm leaf into the thatched roof of his bhajan kutir, went to the ocean to take bath. While he was at the ocean, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the residence of Rupa Goswami. He happened to see the palm leaf in the thatched roof of Srila Rupa Goswami. He read it. When he read that verse, his heart became filled with transcendental ecstasy. In great jubilation, he was wondering, how has Rupa Goswami understood my heart? Just at that moment, Rupa Goswami returned. He offered his prostrated obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him and asked Rupa Goswami, how do you know the confidential secrets of my heart? Srila Rupa Goswami was silent. Lord Chaitanya, mildly, with intimate love, slapped Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya left that place. He took that palm leaf with him, went to his most confidential servitor, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, and showed him the verse. He asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, how is it that Rupa Goswami has understood the greatest secrets of my mind? Swarup Damodar Goswami explained, I can understand that it is because you have bestowed your causeless mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya replied, yes. When I met him at Prayag, his humility and sincere devotion conquered my mind. I understood that he is a suitable candidate to understand and spread the glories of the mellows of pure devotional service to the world. It was at Prayag, at the Shashvamedha Ghat, that I personally embraced Rupa Goswami and endowed within his heart all of my mercy. On another day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Srila Rupa Goswami. He asked him, what books are you writing today? Then he picked up the palm leaf that Rupa Goswami was writing on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at it, became filled with bliss. He said, the unparalleled beauty of the handwriting of Srila Rupa Goswami appears to be like rows of pearls, precious jewels. Then he read the verse. As he read the verse out loud, he became filled with ecstasy. The verse he read was, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant the holy name of Krishna, it appears that Krishna is dancing in my mouth, and I desire many, many mouths. When that name enters into my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears. When the name of Krishna enters into the courtyard of my heart, it conquers my mind and my senses become inert. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reading this wonderful verse extolling the glories of the holy name of Krishna, Haridas Thakur, upon hearing it, began dancing in ecstasy, loudly praising the glories of Rupa Goswami and chanting the holy name. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Srila Rupa Goswami. The next day in the early morning, he went to Jagannath's temple and he gathered together his most confidential associates and told them, let us go now to meet with Rupa Goswami. As they were going, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai and the others those two special verses that he had read on the palm leaves of Rupa Goswami. And they were in ecstasy to hear it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying Rupa Goswami as if he had five mouths. In fact, he was glorifying Rupa Goswami as if he had hundreds of mouths. They came to Srila Haridas Thakur's residence, and there Haridas and Rupa Goswami offered obeisances to all the great Vaishnavas and offered them all a raised platform to sit on. Srila Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur sat on a lower level. They said, please sit with us. He said, no, no, no. We will sit at your lotus feet. At that time, Swarup Damodar Goswami began to explain to the others how Rupa Goswami was writing two dramas, one about the Vrindavan Leela and one about Dwarka Leela, named Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Rupa Goswami to read that verse that he had composed. It was the same verse that Lord Chaitanya found in the thatched roof, which revealed the innermost secrets of Lord Chaitanya's heart. Rupa Goswami was so shy, he did not say anything. Again and again, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Rupa Goswami to read the verse. Then Lord Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar Goswami personally took that verse and read it. Now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna.
on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of the Jamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan. Upon hearing this verse, all of the devotees were filled with great, great spiritual joy. They were wondering, how is it, my Lord, that he has understood the very inner nature of your mission? Lord Chaitanya told all the devotees that I have bestowed all my mercy on Rupa Goswami. Now all of you, bless him with your causeless mercy. Then Lord Chaitanya asked Rupa Goswami, please read that verse which dispels all unhappiness. Rupa Goswami was very shy, but Lord Chaitanya insisted, please read that verse. Rupa Goswami recited it. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant the holy name of Krishna, it appears that Krishna is personally dancing within my mouth. And I desire many, many mouths. When that name enters into my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears. And when that name enters into the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes conquered and my senses are inert. Upon hearing that verse, all the devotees in great ecstasy began to dance. They were praising again and again that of all the great glorifications of the holy name of the Lord they have ever heard, nothing was so sweet and beautiful as this verse composed by Srila Rupa Goswami. The holy scriptures are filled with the glorification of the holy name, but only a pure devotee like Rupa Goswami can extract essence of the nectar of all those slokas to write such a verse. Then Lord Chaitanya indicated to Ramananda Rai to examine Srila Rupa Goswami. Actually, first of all, Lord Chaitanya examined his devotees by praising the glories of Rupa Goswami. And when he saw that they were jubilant and happy to hear Lord Chaitanya bestowing mercy and glorifying his devotee, they passed the test. Srila Prabhupada explains that when a devotee hears another devotee glorified and sees another devotee receiving the causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna, if he's actually a true Vaishnav, he will be so overwhelmed with joy. However, if that devotee becomes envious or thinks, why am I not getting the mercy? Why am I not getting the glory? That devotee has failed the exam. Then Ramananda Rai asked Rupa Goswami, can you read your, what kind of drama are you writing? And can you recite the introductory verse of your drama? Rupa Goswami, after being ordered by Lord Chaitanya, recited the verse. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like Shikarani,
a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even the nectar produced on the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis.
Ramananda Rai then requested Rupa Goswami to recite the description of the glories of his worshipable deity. Rupa Goswami became very much embarrassed because Lord Chaitanya was present.
However, Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you embarrassed? You should recite so that the devotees could hear the good fruit of your writing."
When Rupa Goswami recited the verse, Lord Chaitanya disapproved. The Lord accused that it was an exaggeration. As Rupa Goswami, for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas, recited the prayer worshipping his deity.
May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love.
All the devotees greatly appreciated and expressed their gratitude to Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Ramananda Rai asked many questions about various literary embellishments, the introduction of the various players in the drama, and the content of this particular drama. And Rupa Goswami went on with his narrations, describing the beautiful pastimes of Srimati Radharani, Krishna, in the forests of Vrindavan. Ramananda Rai was also asking questions regarding the transcendental science of devotional service, and how Rupa Goswami was answering each question by citing various verses from his drama. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the greatest of all philosophers of the time, completely approved and was satisfied with the philosophical conclusions of Rupa Goswami. Ramananda Rai was perfectly convinced that Rupa Goswami, unparalleled in his knowledge of the transcendental mellows of devotional service. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu, Adwaita Acharya, all these great Vaishnavas bestowed their fullest blessings and satisfaction on Rupa Goswami. Then Ramananda Rai again asked Rupa Goswami to explain the second introductory verse to his second drama. And Rupa Goswami again hesitated, but he was induced by Lord Chaitanya and the devotees to read. So he recited.
The moon-like Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the son of Mother Sachi, has now appeared on earth to spread devotional love of himself. He is the emperor of the Brahmin community. He can drive away all the darkness of ignorance and control the mind of everyone in the world. May that rising moon bestow upon all of us good fortune.
Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inwardly greatly pleased when he heard this verse, externally he spoke as if he was angry. your exalted poetic descriptions of the mellows of Lord Krishna's pastimes are like an ocean of nectar. But why have you put in a false prayer about me? It is like a drop of detestable poison.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Ramananda Rai objected. It is not the alkali of poison at all. It is a particle of camphor he has put into the nectar of his exalted poetic expressions. Lord Chaitanya replied to Ramananda Rai, "My dear Ramananda Rai, you are jubilant at hearing these poetic expressions, but I am ashamed to hear them, for people in general will joke about the subject of this verse." Ramananda Rai replied to Lord Chaitanya, "Instead of joking, the people in general will feel great pleasure in hearing this verse, for the initial remembrance of the worshipable deity invokes all good fortune." Srila Rupa Goswami continued to explain the various subject matters of the Leela of Vrindavan to the satisfaction of all the devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally had all the devotees embrace Rupa Goswami and told him that, "I want to reveal the truths of love of Krishna through Rupa Goswami. He will be going to Vrindavan. Give him your mercy." Srila Rupa Goswami stayed with the devotees and became more dear than their own lives to all of them. How much all the Vaishnavas loved Srila Rupa Goswami for his humility and his genuinely devotional qualities. After the celebration of Dola Yatra, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srila Rupa Goswami that he should go to Vrindavan and there perform the great mission that he had received. Rupa Goswami first took the dust of the feet of all the devotees and received their blessings. Then he surrendered his life at the feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya affectionately embraced him with tears of love, sent him to Sri Vrindavan Dham.